It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Tuesday, it's Election Day. In Virginia and New Jersey, they're voting for governor, and key mayoral races are happening in New York City, Atlanta, Minneapolis. In Boston, there's a historic race between two women of color. And in Buffalo, New York, a socialist, India Walton, won the Democratic primary. Unfortunately, the incumbent who she ran against refused to concede. So the current mayor, Brown, is urging people to write it down. Yep, he didn't concede. He's running a write-in campaign. This is a race to watch. Others worth noting, in Minneapolis, they're voting on a controversial police reform measure. And there are three special congressional elections in Ohio and Florida. One vote that won't be happening on Tuesday is in the House of Representatives. They had planned on voting on Tuesday on two major infrastructure bills that make up President Biden's Build Back Better agenda. But when the text for the larger reconciliation bill was released Thursday night, they were teasing a vote on Tuesday. That changed over the weekend as some negotiations on changes were still happening. Two major thorns in the side of progress throughout the whole process have been Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. They hijacked the agenda and cut the size of the bill in half. But it's what they cut out that's at issue. The Build Back Better plan, or human infrastructure part of the deal, is very popular with the American people. But some of the most popular provisions didn't make it to the final draft, including dental and vision added to Medicare, allowing Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices, and providing free community college. Well, a new Politico Morning Consult poll asked respondents to choose their most important components in the original bill. And go figure, dental and vision benefits added to Medicare, funding for home health care for seniors and people with disabilities, allowing Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices, expanding Medicare to cover hearing, two free years of community college, funding for affordable housing, and paid family and medical leave. Well, President Biden was confident that the bill would be passing as early as this week when he left the country. So wouldn't you know, Joe Manchin did it again. He called a press conference on Monday to say he wanted to clarify a few things.
Again, to be clear, I will not support the reconciliation legislation without knowing how the bill will impact our debt and our economy and our country. And we won't know that until we work through the text. For the sake of our country, I am urging all of my colleagues in the House to vote and pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill. It's bipartisan, 69 votes. We worked on that for many, many months. As I've said before, holding that bill hostage is not going to work to get my support of what you want. It's what we should all agree on and work through the process. I'm open to supporting a final bill that helps move our country forward, but I'm equally open to voting against a bill that hurts our country. And I've been very clear about that also. And most importantly, hurts every American. Let's work together, and I mean that. Let's all work together on getting a sensible reconciliation package, a package that really strengthens our nation and makes us better and leads the world.
Well, that's what they've been doing, and Joe Manchin has been the holdup. Meanwhile, the Progressive Caucus came out after that statement and said they fully endorse both bills and plan to vote for both of them as soon as both are ready. So President Biden is in Glasgow for the COP26 conference on climate change. He actually apologized on Monday for the former guy's decision to withdraw the country from the landmark 2015 Paris Climate Accord. Biden, who rejoined the agreement, said as the conference got underway that the U.S. was, quote, back at the table and ready to lead a push for commitments to reduce emissions to hold warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The U.N. Secretary General warned the world leaders gathered that they were not doing enough to fight climate change, with massive damage already happening and unstoppable. In his opening remarks, he said that the world must cut greenhouse gas emissions or face catastrophic damage from rising temperatures. He said, quote, we are digging our own graves. President Biden unveiled a series of policies Tuesday that would limit methane gas leaks from oil and gas wells and pipelines. That's important because methane emissions are a major agenda item at the conference. Methane is a key component of natural gas. It's the number two greenhouse gas behind carbon dioxide, and it dissipates more quickly than carbon dioxide, but is 80 times more powerful in the first 20 years after reaching the atmosphere. The U.S. and the EU are pushing other countries to sign the Global Methane Pledge to cut emissions 30% by 2030. A new EPA rule to be finalized next month will require oil and gas wells to monitor and capture methane leaks. Well, the Supreme Court listened to hours of arguments on Monday regarding the controversial Texas abortion law. You know, it prohibits abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, and attempts to avoid legal challenges by basically deputizing private citizens to enforce it. During the hearings, at least two of the most conservative justices, Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, expressed doubts regarding the Texas effort to prevent federal lawsuits against the law. This could set up a court majority ruling against Texas for the first time and allowing at least one of the lawsuits against the ban to proceed. Critics of the law hope this might lead to a suspension of the ban. The Texas law conflicts with high court precedent dating to 1973's Roe v. Wade and has forced women throughout Texas to travel to Oklahoma or other states for abortions. Good news for kids ages 5 to 11. The federal vaccination program for them will be fully operational November 8th. The FDA signed off Friday on the emergency use authorization for the vaccines for kids in that age group. That includes about 28 million children. The CDC is expected to give the final go-ahead. Meanwhile, public health experts say vaccinating children is crucial to curbing the pandemic and preventing outbreaks in schools. While kids are taking the shot, some adults are not. About 2,300 New York City firefighters called in sick on Monday, the day the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate took effect from municipal workers. About 2,300 New York City firefighters called in sick on Monday. That's the day the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate took effect for municipal workers. On a typical day, 800 to 1,000 department employees are out due to illness. The FDNY commissioner said that those staying home to protest the mandate must return immediately. Quote, if you're sick, you're sick. It's a dangerous job. I get it. If you're not sick, I want to see you back at work. Then he said once the members come to their senses and stop using medical leave improperly, they can help out not only the citizens of the city, but their brothers and sisters who are staffing these units. Mayor Bill de Blasio said about 9,000 city employees out of a 378,000-person workforce have been placed on leave without pay for failing to comply with the requirement to get a vaccine. The Washington Post published a three-part investigation of January 6th, and the results call for a lot stricter prosecution of the attackers than has been happening. And it notes threats and disinformation that have spread across the country since the attack on January 6th. One-third of Republican candidates interested in running for statewide offices this cycle have questioned the outcome of the 2020 vote or downplayed the Capitol attack, according to that Post investigation. 10 of them are running for Secretary of State, a position that oversees elections in many of those states. And in at least 17 states, election officials have collectively received hundreds of threats to their safety or their lives. Just shocking. And finally, Social Security survivor benefits are now available to same-sex spouses and partners after being denied them for years based on old bans on gay marriage. Helen Thornton, who was denied benefits for a long-term partner who died before same-sex couples could get married, said, quote, marriage equality came too late for many of us, but it was not too late to fix this problem involving survivors' benefits. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.